I've been pulling that butcher scam for fucking months. Survivors from the ambush. Get a lift. Then open the throat to the driver and shotgun and let in their mates. Easy as catching a legless mutie.
And the way it was sitting there, now that you say it, Gaia, what a stoop I was. I can see it in my mind's eye now, and it's obvious it was a real old wreck. Set by the track and fired with some brush. Drop of gas and oil, and it smokes like a fresh killing ground.
And they'd have been eating us! Ugh! Cannies!
Laurie kicked out at the slumped corpse of the woman.
Right. Now you all know what you gotta do. Clean out this wag and tidy up out there. Then we can move on again.
It took only a half hour to finish off the wounded men and wash out the bloodied interior of the big wag. Then Jack cranked up the engine, and they rolled south toward the old Maryland state line.
I wish in vain. I wish I were a mate again. A mate again I ne'er can be till... Ugh! Can't you hold this fire-blasted wag steady on the road, Jack?
Sorry, Christy. Tree fell and blacked us. Had to go round.
It had taken them 3 days to get from the Susquehanna, across the northern angle of Maryland, and into the edges of Virginia. The road had been appalling, and the weather worse. Twice they'd been hit by ferocious chem storms, as severe as anything Ryan or JB had ever encountered. The gales had come shrieking from the east, bringing a biting salt rain and hail that battered at the metal roof of the wag. Lightning lanced to earth all around them, filling the air with the dry taste of bitter ozone. The thunder was so loud that any conversation within the vehicle had to be shouted. At the height of the storms, Jack had stopped driving, unable to see more than a couple of feet ahead. Mud fell from the skies and streaked the armored glass, coating it with a thick layer of gray-orange slime. On the evening of the third day, the wind shifted and ravened from the west. Ryan climbed down from the wag on the leeward side, finding to his dismay that his rad counter began to indicate a warning, the needle sliding into the red.
Must have picked up some hot shit from beyond the mist, Ryan. Some real glow spots that way. Better keep in and move on when we can.
In one of the places where they lost the highway, they plowed through an old burial ground.
Where the fuck's this?
It was early in the morning, and a thin slice of sullen sun glowered balefully over a low range of hills to the east of them. As far as the eye could see, there were great rows of pale stones, most with carving on them and words that had been virtually obliterated by long years of wind, rain, and chem storms. Doc Tanner offered to get down and take a look. The door slid open, and the old man vanished into the hazy dawn. They watched him from the obslits, seeing his gaunt figure stooped like a crow, picking his way among the headstones. He hesitated now and again, hunkering down to peer at the lettering. Once he looked back toward the wag.
I'm getting out to join him. Anyone coming?
He was underwhelmed by the response. Suddenly, everyone had something to do.
Sorry, lover. This country's too full of graves for me to want to go look at any more. You go.
The wind was cold and fresh, biting at the skin across his cheeks. On all sides, Ryan could see rolling hills, memories bringing back so much of his brief and long-gone childhood. Round-topped mountains sprayed thick with pine forest, torn rags of fog lingering in some of the gentle valleys. Doc was standing with his back turned to Ryan, his hand gently stroking the top of a gravestone. He glanced around at the sound of Ryan's boots crunching on the gravel.
Welcome to the place of old dying, my friend.
Tears flowed down Doc's furrowed cheeks, washing away the dust in rosy streaks over the silver stubble on his chin.
Private Joshua Clement, 1st Minnesota, fell on the second day of July in the year of 1863. Aged 20 and 2 years.
This from the old Civil War, Doc?
In my childhood, this was possibly the best known of all cemeteries. Here rest so many good fellows and young. There's another stone there, tumbled in the long grass by time and nuking. Look at it, Ryan, and see how little has truly altered in 230 years.
Ryan stooped, cocking his head to read the worn letters.
Drummer Horatio Makem of the 20th Maine Regiment. Born in Connaught and died here, aged 11 years and 3 months.
children, Ryan. Younger even than that bloodthirsty albino in the truck. So many died here. Oak Hill, the Peach Orchard, and Little Round Top, Cemetery Ridge, and the Devil's Den. The wounded, begging for death. A bullet in arm or leg, Mr. Cawdor, meant cold, blunt steel. The piles of severed limbs quite o'ertopped the tents where the surgeons labored.
Ryan straightened and looked around at the quiet fields and hedgerows, their lines still visible among the tide of fresh vegetation. A wood pigeon was cooing softly in a grove of immensely tall sycamores near a narrow, meandering stream. It was a scene of perfect, idyllic peace.
You say this was a big fight?
A big fight, Ryan? Oh, I think that I might say that. Some 50,000 men and boys were killed or wounded in those 3 days in bright July. 5 years before I was born. 50,000 lost, Ryan.
Who won? North or south?
Doc Tanner scuffed at the ground, where one of the tablets had toppled over.
General Lee hoped for the one great battle that would turn the tide for the south. This was to be it. Gettysburg. The high water mark for the Confederate States of America. The war was not yet over, but now the die was cast and the count was against the South.
Ryan glanced around, automatically checking for any possible danger, but the dawn was still quiet and peaceful.
They didn't know that their cause was lost. They rallied and came again and again into the storm of lead. One cried out to Lee that they would fight until hell itself froze over. And then they would go and fight the damned Yankees on the ice. But it was lost.
Gettysburg. Heard of it. Old books. So the Union came the way we did, from the north. And the Rebs, that the right name? Yeah, the Rebs came up from the south yonder.
You'd have guessed so, Ryan. Oddly, it was just the opposite. Lee came to Gettysburg from the north, and General Meade from the south. Old Snapping Turtle Meade. That's what he was called. When I was a young tad of a boy and we played Rebs and Yankees, we'd all be our favorite generals. I was Jeb Stuart.
There was no sign that morning of the madness that swam just beneath the surface of Doc Tanner's shaken mind. He was logical and coherent, pointing out as best he could how the battle had swung backward and forward during the 3 days, using his silver-topped cane to indicate the hills and folds in the rolling ground around them.
Thursday, November 19, 4 months after the battle, a lot of big men came here to dedicate this cemetery as a sort of national monument for the fallen.
Unseen by either of them, Jack had left the wag and walked through the grass to stand behind them, hearing what Doc had been saying.
4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Abe Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? How in tarnation do you know that, my snow-headed young companion?
Pa taught me. Said his pa taught him and his pa before that. There's lots more. Can't recall it now. Bit about the word with little note or long remember what we say here, but I can never forget what they did here. Meaning the men got chilled. And it ended with something about resolving that these dead shall not have died in vain. That...
The boy shook his head, the long white veil of hair swirling around his face in the dawn breeze.
Can't remember.
That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Ryan glanced back and saw that Lori, JB, and Christy had all gotten out of the wag and were standing close together, listening to Doc's recitation.
If I had any tears left, I would shed them now for the mindless and overweeningly stupid men who forgot those words of Lincoln. The men, now long dead, who took a dream and flung it into the abyss. The men who took the United States of America and turned it into the Deathlands. I could weep for it, my friends. Truly, I could weep.
There is a point where the old states of Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia all come together at notorious Harper's Ferry. The wag coughed and spluttered its way into Ryan Cotter's home state, now a scant 60 miles from the Villa Front Royal. The closer they drove to his birthplace, the quieter the one-eyed man became. He sat alone on his bunk when he wasn't spelling Jack in the driver's seat. It was becoming increasingly obvious that the Segwag wasn't going to make it the whole distance to their destination. The farther they traveled, the rougher the engine sounded, devouring more and more gas. They stopped for the night, about 30 miles from Front Royal, and Jack tipped a long stick into the tank, holding it angled to the orange beams of the setting sun, to try to see the gas level.
How much?
Not enough.
In the cans?
Dried in an old woman's tits. Guess about 10 miles. Maybe 15.
They all looked at Ryan.
You recognize where we are? Ring any bells from boyhood?
Never hunted much north. This trail doesn't seem much used. Main tracks were south and west of here. Old I-81 was the wide one. Pa had trouble with guerrillas coming from the mountains to the west. Shen raiders. They used that interstate with fast wags, light armor. Stole horses and cattle and women. Surely missed the stallions and the seed bulls.
But you believe we may be somewhat in the immediate vicinity of your ancestral home?
Doc scratched his chin, his mind immediately wandering off the subject.
Upon my soul, I declare that I have dire need of a shave, my friends. Forgive me while I go attend to my ablutions.
The old man vanished toward a slow-moving stream behind the wag. Ryan shrugged.
I guess we gotta be close. Can't say. Oh, fire blast. I don't think I'm doing right bringing you along on this.
Christy clucked her tongue and moved closer to him, but he shook his head.
No, lover, I mean all of you. If Harvey once finds out I'm within 100 miles, he'll put the dogs out after me. After us. And he must be able to call on maybe 100 Sekhmen or more. As well as having every bastard village and hamlet for 20 miles around under his heel.
Wouldn't be here if I didn't want to be.
And me. We'll kill your brother together. Shan't I?
Okay, my friends. But when my brother has us roasting over a slow fire, don't any of you blame me.
Jack caught some trout and roasted them over a slow fire of hickory wood, the scent making everyone's mouth water. The fish were delicious, the tender flesh all but falling off the slender bones. After dinner, Jack lay back on a shelf of thick moss, legs crossed, his stark white hair spread out behind him like a bride.